God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. God said, let there be light. Because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. You've no doubt seen the footage, or some of it, from areas of Mexico that have been, under attack, I guess you could say, from cartel forces, really well-armed cartel forces. And if you've seen some of the videos of some of the cartels in the armaments they have, it can seem really frightening. I was talking with some friends of mine who are in Puerto Vallarta, and at this point they're safe. Couple guys who've lived in Mexico their whole lives and in that area, completely different responses. One friend of mine wrote to me and said, I sent prayers down for he and his family, and he wrote back and said, it's very bad. You know, God save us all. And I'll follow up only to say, hey, I'm praying for you. We'll continue to pray. Another friend of mine simply sent me a thumbs up. It's okay. Now maybe they were in different areas. I know that one of my friends lives far outside the city. Another friend of mine lives in the city. So it's probably experiencing a lot of that very close up. I have business contacts there who become friends and sent them notes, and they're hunkered down. I've a listener, a longtime listener to the program, a person I've never met in person, but I've had on the show a couple times. She's an activist and a really good one. She's down there with 16 people on a church mission, and they've been given a hiding place. She was grateful for that. They weren't set to leave this week anyway. So when we watch this stuff, I had this one response from a friend of mine who says he's embarrassed. He is a lifelong Mexican citizen. He loves his country. He's very, very sad for how the country has been sold down the river, and not just to the cartels, but to American and Chinese companies who've come along and stolen their beach access in cooperation with the Mexican government. There's a law in Mexico that locals are to have beach access always. And the hotels can't take that. The hotels have taken it. And it's just absurd when I go there and see Mexican nationals waiting to pay money to go onto a beach. Because I have a little wristband, get to walk on for free. It sickens me. And I've made the promise next time I'm down, I'm going to stay in one of the resorts that has beach access. And I'm going to invite everybody I know who lives in Mexico, because they can all be my guests. And if it's 100 people, so be it. So be it. Now, a lot of Americans will look at this and say, wow, Mexico's a mess. Right now, it sure seems like it. And I would invite Americans to look back at the Summer of Love. You had two cities seized. Six blocks of downtown Seattle was seized by terrorist groups riding around in pickup trucks with long rifles. You had buildings burned down. You had $1 billion payoff to those terrorist groups in Seattle. They seized a police station. They seized personnel records. They stole police officers' IDs and wedding rings. They committed two murders, both of them young people, one of them a teenager. They committed countless rapes and assaults. And forevermore, change that part of Seattle is now considered their property. Cal Anderson Park is now theirs. A Christian group went to have a concert there. And the Seattle Times wrote about what a terrible affront it was to Seattle to allow a Christian group into Cal Anderson Park. I would invite Americans to remember St. Louis, Missouri, where we had shoot and move battles between police officers and Black Lives Matter incorporated terrorist groups. So yeah, it looks like Mexico's messy right now. Are you going to stop going to St. Louis or Seattle? I would also offer this, and I've had this discussion with friends of mine from Mexico. They've got their cartels, we have ours. their cartels will go out and do things like this. They had their El Menche. And I'm telling you, I listen to El Menche threaten local police officers. I listened to audio of him telling police officers what to do and how he would spill blood at a moment's notice. I have no affection for El Menche or his likely heir apparent, El Yogar. None. Nor do I have any affection for our cartels. They just don't go do murders this way. But your good friends at Pharma have killed probably 17 million people with the COVID shots alone globally. I just saw a case out of Canada where a woman was put on 9 psychiatric drugs. And it resulted in her going and ending the lives of her 3 kids one at a time with an exercise band and then jumping out the window of her home and paralyzing herself. This as her husband was begging doctors to help get his wife off these 9 drugs. 9. There is no way that's safe, and everybody knows it. In pharma and in doctordom. So we have our cartels. Mexico has theirs. We have ours. On the good news front, doctors are no longer going to receive financial rewards for vaccinating kids. And this is due to the work of RFK Jr. Praise God for this. They should not be getting bonuses for getting kids injected with needles. They should look at every case separately. Now, that's the good news. The good news in Mexico is El Menche is gone. The good news in Mexico could be, perhaps, that Mexico is one day freed from the cartel influence. It's going to take a long time. It may take 30 or 40 years, and you see what's happened. The president of Mexico said she was reluctant to do this because of what they'd see. Well, we're up here watching well-trained domestic terror groups turning soccer moms into people who disrupt police activity. So let's not point the finger at Mexico like there's some kind of bizarre case. We have it here, too. It's just not as pronounced. Some different tactics. We have our cartels. President Trump just decided to help one of the cartels again. In this case, in the case of glyphosate, the president has issued an executive order giving makers of this chemical, glyphosate, a waiver, just like the same waiver that pharma companies got with the mRNA injections. And in this case, this is for spraying on plants. It's in things like Roundup, and it's already known to be a very, very dangerous chemical. It's already known to be that. And yet there are environmentalists who wouldn't tell you that. This gentleman is the guy who helped found a Greenpeace, and he was challenged by an interviewer to follow up in his own words because he'd said something about this chemical. And this interviewer said, okay, let's put your mouth where your words are.
I do not believe that glyphosate in Argentina is causing increases in cancer. You can drink a whole quart of it and it won't hurt you.
You want to drink some? We have some here.
I'd be happy to, actually. Not really. I know it wouldn't hurt
me. If you say so, I have some glyphosate.
No, I'm not stupid.
Okay, so you.
No, but I know
so
this,
it's dangerous,
I know,
right?
No, people try to commit suicide with it and fail fairly regularly.
Tell the truth.
It's not dangerous to humans. No, it's not.
So are you ready to drink one glass of glyphosate?
No, I'm not an idiot. Interview me about golden rice. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, then it's finished.
Except,
the interview is finished.
That's a good way to solve things.
Yeah. You're a complete jerk.
That's Patrick Moore, former Greenpeace director, who's really solid on global warming and that scam. Oh, I'm sorry, climate catastrophe. So he says it's perfectly safe, and the interviewer says, okay, we'll drink a cup. You said you could drink a cup. You just want to drink a cup because he's not stupid. There's this new food pyramid meme that's going around, and it's the food pyramid that RFK Jr. has corrected to a degree. You know, our old food pyramid was so perverse, caused so much type 2 diabetes, but on top of all the eat real food, there's now Roundup being sprayed. President Trump has given, and please don't think that these aren't pharma companies. The makers of Roundup and chemicals like that are the same thing as pharma. They now have a very similar waiver. So when people get cancer and when babies are mutilated in the womb from this stuff, you no longer can sue. Thank you, President Trump, for bellying up to help our cartels. Mexico has their cartels, we have ours. In our case, there's also this. According to Dr. Pierre Corey in 1981, SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, disappeared in Japan after they did something against the cartels of the world. Pharma.
This actually happened in Japan. I think this is really interesting because you look at how these two countries behave towards vaccines and vaccine safety. And Japan has done really some actions which are not followed by a lot of the other Western advanced health economies. But when they noticed this rash of deaths in the 70s, they saw what they did is they raised the age of vaccination to 2 years old. Guess what happened when they did that? Infant deaths disappeared. You know, so you have a country who noticed this signal, did something about it, and actually solved the problem. Neonatal mortality decreased.
Gosh, I wonder why. So Mexico has their cartels, and operatives within the cartel are protesting in a scary way. And my understanding is there's been at least one police officer killed in Mexico. And we have a cartel here that doesn't protest in the same way because they don't have to. They don't have to. A good con artist gets away. A great con artist never needs to leave town. In our cases, our cartels are labeled pharmaceutical companies. They're medical companies. They're to help us. And there are some helpful drugs, for sure. Antibiotics are a great miracle from God. Very helpful. Aspirin's a great miracle. And we have our cartels. A children's hospital was told it must continue to mutilate children's bodies despite the hospital's decision to stop it, partially because of President Trump's pressure on them. Thank you, President Trump, for that. In that case, he actually took on the cartel.
Remember, all of this came in mid-January when Rady Children's Hospital came out and said they were halting all gender-affirming care for patients under the age of 19. And why they did this, they say they were concerned after a mid-December declaration from RFK Jr., Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, that said that any hospital that does offer gender-affirming care could be at risk of losing federal funding and losing out on federal programs like Medicare and Medicaid.
So this judge has come along and said, nope, you have to keep doing it. He's an insurrectionist. He doesn't have the right to issue this order, this edict. It's not a judicial decision. It's a medical one. And the cartel has a big win there. Let's pray for the people of Mexico for sure. We can pray for them and the children of Gaza and the innocent children in Israel. And then let's stop pointing the finger at other countries and realize we've got plenty of mess right here in the United States of America. And we can be praying about the mess we've made of our own country with our cartels. You know, there's this rule in talk radio, and it's a really good one. Don't talk about a thing unless you can add value. So one value I do want to add in regard to what's going on in Mexico is maybe this happens to you. And this is to my shame. It really is. I mentioned Gaza, innocent kids in Gaza, maybe 20,000 of them dead now. I mentioned innocents in Israel because, hey, guys, there are innocent people on both sides. And this is to my shame. I found myself watching the footage of Mexico and particularly focus on Puerto Vallarta because that's where I go when I'm in Mexico. And somehow it was more meaningful to me. Oh, wow, I recognize that. I know right where that is. Oh, my goodness. I took my daughter to an art store right there. Oh, my goodness. That's in the resort town we visit. Nueva Vallarta. To my shame. Why did I not have the same response to what I saw in other parts of Mexico, other parts of the world, or here in America? I would beg you to imagine this happening here and understand it's only a few degrees away because it very nearly does happen here. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to your personal notes and the tire babbling and some emails from you. This is a segment where we try to concentrate on being in the world and not of it. And that's what we're told to be as Christians, recognize that we're visitors here. Let's leave it better than we found it. Isn't that the cliche about the campsites? And we're camping out here. And our true home, as we say at the beginning of the show, is with Jesus Christ in the new heaven and the new earth. So we concentrate on being in the world and not of it. And that requires us, though, to take a look around the world. You know, there are tourists who are trapped in Mexico right now. Airports are shut down. The Ubers and taxis have stopped running. You would stop driving, too, if you had cartel members seizing cars and burning them down. And at this point, praise God for this, the cartel operatives apparently been told to not go out and murder people right now. Praise God for that. They're letting people get away from the cars before they torch them and away from the trucks. Did you see the diesel truck someone torched? That was scary. And the gas station. And I talked in the first segment about the fact that us in America, we would do well to remember that we've allowed domestic terror groups to take over our cities. And we would do well to not point the finger at the people of Mexico. Oh, your country's a mess. We've got our cartels here, too. Our cartels are called pharmaceutical companies. Now, let's get back onto being in the world and not of it by way of this. Those of us who visit Mexico can look at that and go, that's a mess. And I'm praying for people. And then you can say, I'm glad I don't live there, if you like. And again, I invite you to remember what happens in America. But it's different when it's not your home. I was just pining on that just at the end of the last segment. That to my shame, my attention turned immediately to the parts of Mexico I know because it's relatable. I can look at that and go, oh, gosh, I know right where that boardwalk is. Oh, my gosh, there's a great vegan restaurant I took my daughter to right down there. Oh, my gosh, I hope it's okay. Now, part of that's personal. Part of it's relatability. And in our world where we live, we would do well to think of our world as a place we visited with our families, that we take our daughters to, and our sons and our wives, that we have great, great feelings about it, but it is not our home. Now, our home exists in heaven with the new heaven and the new earth with Jesus Christ, and it's an invitation-only event. You have to invite yourself in by inviting Jesus Christ into your life. He won't force himself. Part of being in the world but not of it is to become an ambassador for Christ. And that is by recognizing him as your Lord and Savior in your mind and then speaking it, confessing it publicly, and showing the sign of that through baptism and agreeing to be changed by the Lord. Come, follow me, and I will make you, he said, fishers of men. But he will also make you more holy through the Holy Spirit. Now, when this happens and we become ambassadors for Christ and we're visiting a place, we're visiting the world, does that mean that we shouldn't look to make things better while we're here? No, it absolutely doesn't mean that because we're told to be good citizens. While we're here, we have a visa, let's say this, a spiritual visa to be here. Except in America, we get to vote because in this world, we're citizens. So we have an opportunity to do something right now. It's incredibly frustrating to me. That with all the attention cast upon the unbelievable evils of Jeffrey Epstein and all the trafficking that occurred, and no, it was not just one case. I am fascinated by people who refuse to go read these files and see it was not one case or even close to one case. I just read an email, an exchange Jeffrey Epstein had with a woman where she was reminding him that he had offered to purchase her 6-month-old baby. Why would a man like him purchase a 6-month-old baby? This was a woman he'd had an affair with. He'd also offered, he got her okay taking money from him. And so he could sugar daddy her. And he was paying her living expenses and giving her tons and tons of money. And he then offered to set her new boyfriend up in business and set him up with tons and tons of money. And she wrote back to him and said, you got me used to these behaviors. I resisted that. And now you remember, you wanted to buy my baby. How am I supposed to look past all this stuff? And that's one case, but there's thousands of cases. And with all the attention that people spend looking at Epstein, all that time they spend with this, they're refusing to stop the Epsteins of our world. Because there are Epsteins of our world. There's an attorney in California. His name is John Manley. And he says that there is an epidemic of sexual abuse against minors in California schools being perpetrated by teachers.
What's the issue in the California public school system, K through 12?
The main issue is that there is an epidemic of sexual abuse in the state. By teachers, by coaches, and by other school employees. It wasn't until 2012 you could actually file a lawsuit, a civil lawsuit, for damages as a victim of sexual abuse in California. And since then, our firm alone has filed dozens. Our firm alone has discovered over 350 or 360 perpetrators, teachers.
So that's from Catherine Herridge's program. And is someone surprised by this? The schools are Epstein Island beginner kits. This is what they become. If you go back to Epstein's technique, he would bring girls in, they would give him a massage, he would pay them money, and they would leave. And if they wanted another couple $100, the next time Ghislaine Maxwell or one of his operatives called, they'd go and they'd give Epstein a massage and maybe just some other parts of his body that time and maybe get a little bit more money. And eventually, of course, there's sex. And a good groomer knows what they're doing. They take it gentle at first. And what are they doing? They're breaking down barriers. First of all, to touching a man you don't know, it's just a massage. And then no doubt, Ghislaine Maxwell would talk to these girls, hey, you're going to need to do some more stuff for Jeffrey this time, and the men there. And they'd start with Jeffrey. And once that barrier is broken, and they've allowed him to inflict his sexual perversions upon them. And I'm not saying that it's their kids. They can't make the decision legally or mentally or spiritually, but they allow it. Once that happens, it's easier to be done with other men. And I guarantee Ghislaine Maxwell was talking to the girl saying, look, it's the same thing as a massage. It's not that different. Just look at it as a massage. It's not that different, but you're going to get paid a lot more money. And then when you have other girls come and do this, you're going to get a share of what they make, and we'll pay you for bringing them in. Epstein Islands was created, I think, so Jeffrey Epstein could do these things whenever he wanted, bring other men in. Same with the ranch. What do we have in the government schools? In places like California, the government schools are where men, and now we see more and more often women, get to break down the barriers kids have. They can talk about sex at any time. They're encouraged to pull kids aside and talk about sex, knowing it's kept secret from the parents, knowing that parents have no recourse, knowing that if they complain, the school will back the teachers. It is an Epstein Island starter kit. You have the school system grooming kids, and in that way, inviting people who have this particular sin issue, inflicting lusts upon the bodies of children, headed to the schools. I said it at the time, the first time I read the perverse pornographic sex ed that was being pushed in the separate country of Washington State, shoved down the throats of voters who were against it 8-9-1. I said it at the time, this will make things easier for pedophiles. Of course it is. So for all the attention being paid to the Epstein Island stuff, how about stopping the Epsteins of today? President Trump's done some good work on kind of slowing down the gender cult, although Pam Bondi will do nothing about it because it doesn't get her that much time on Fox News, that much different time. No one's being really taken to court. There's investigations in Oyon. They're just waiting until there's a Democrat president to go back at this. But President Trump could come out and simply spotlight this. There are a ton of very sick people working in the schools because they're allowed to do this. They're encouraged to do this. The curriculum encourages people to do this. President Trump should be encouraging as many people as possible to get their kids out of the government schools in places like California. And he should be doing this with the bully pulpits of money in regard to the Department of Education. So we should be fighting this. Now, we need to remember we have a sin issue as a species. And we need to recognize these people also as spiritual captives. I would like to see a day of deliverance outside of government schools. I would love to see deliverance pastors gather around government schools on a day in this nation and pray the demons out, because we are delegated powers by the Lord Jesus to banish demons in his name, with his blood. The demons are thick, though, in the movement of the sexual left. This is a person named Representative Lee Fink from Minnesota. So their Minnesota Republicans have proposed age verification for websites that host, please don't call it adult content. Watching people commit adultery is not an adult activity. It's a sin activity. And there's a bunch of angles on the age verification stuff that we should pay attention to, because it's going to be a way that they usher in the digital ID. They want all of us to have a digital ID, so we have a social credit system. So let's be eyes wide open on this. But also listen to what Lee Fink argues here in relation to what Lee decides to call queer kids.
You mentioned the Paxton case, and the AGs in many states are very clear about that they're almost jubilant about being able to use these laws to ban young people from accessing content that could be educational if they are queer.
Educational if they are queer. I could mention some of this content, though I think at this point you might be familiar with it. You might have seen the book Gender Queer. And this is a book, a dream get for a pedophile. It's a story of a young man who's very kindly helped into sexual activity by another young man who happens to be a little bit older than him, a little bit more experienced. And it gives helpful suggestions on if the first time you engage with sexual activity with another boy, it doesn't feel like you thought it would, let him take over. And really then begin to do what your mind leads you to. It's disgusting. And I know parents who have same-sex attracted kids who do not want them going out and engaging in these behaviors before they're 18. Now, of course, being in the world and not of it, we cannot be transformed by the things of this world. Adultery is a sin. Fornication, this is sex outside of marriage, is a sin. Same-sex activity is a sin. Committing same-sex activities in your mind is a sin, which goes back to these books. These books encourage kids to commit fornication in their minds, which Jesus has said is, in fact, fornication. It encourages them to look upon their classmates as potential targets for their sexual lusts. And in the state of Colorado, this is from Aaron for Parents' Rights, Colorado mandated the teaching of LGBTQ and so-called T starting in first grade social studies. First grade. And she writes, last year, the Colorado Department of Ed literally put out a first grade lesson on sex work and emphasized how so-called trans people must prostitute when their families reject them. Well, their families don't reject them. They reject the lies. And no, that does not mean that a gender-defiant child needs to become a prostitute. And therefore, we should teach kids to go be gender-defiant. When we're in the world and not of it, let's remind ourselves that we're passing through. We believe this is a better place. And we also need to recognize that there but the grace of God go I. This is Representative Lorena Garcia in Colorado. She argued to avoid sending child traffickers to prison for fear they would be sexually abused.
PREA is the Prison Rape Elimination Act. 43% of people incarcerated experience rape while incarcerated. We are not a system that is eye for an eye here. Even as a survivor of rape, I do not wish that on anybody, not even my own rapist. And when we are sending people to indeterminate sentencing, if that even were to happen, we are not only sending them to spend time being punished, which they absolutely should be, we are also sentencing them to inhumane torture. And I won't be a part of that. My heart hurts profoundly for all the survivors who have shared their stories and for those who are out there trying to deal with the harm that has been inflicted upon them. But I cannot participate in creating more victims.
If only there was a way to prevent sexual assaults in prisons. Well, you know, by keeping sexual assaulters separate. It can't be a perfect system because you're talking about people uniquely and dramatically broken by that sin behavior. And she's spending time making sure that they don't go back to prison because they could be assaulted. We should look at every government school, every bit of curricula, as having the ability to transform children by the things of this world. And one of the ways it's transforming them is to turn them into people more welcoming of the advances of pedophiles who may one day end up in prison, but not before they do a ton of harm. We'll come back under Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, and we'll get here to the Tower Babbling and a personal note. First, a couple things. Quick email. This came from Marsha in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Dear Todd, I listened to your program on AFR and have started to watch your YouTube videos. YouTube.com is not my favorite place. I go there to watch you and a couple of other evangelical people, and I have to say, it's a beautiful scenery behind you. I hope that's real. To the topic of my discussion today, I'm a teacher, and when you address issues related to the schools, I feel convicted, and it gives me an uncomfortable feeling, Todd. I'm a godly woman. I try to follow the Lord's. My husband is the same. Neither of us are perfect. We're both educators, and both of us feel convicted when we hear you talk about the evils of our schools. Would you take special care to remember that there are those of us there who are trying to be soldiers for Christ? Our schools here are a little bit better than around the country, though there's a lot of activists who very much want kids to be as perverted as possible. I agree with you on that. That it would do our hearts really good to hear people like you stand with teachers like us. Both of us are targets. We know that. It's better, as I said, here in Florida, but it's not perfect. So it would mean a lot to us if you would do that. God bless you and your family. Marsha, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Marsha, thank you for the note. Thank you very, very much for listening. And thank you for being one of the people who is, as we say, standing in the breach. And this is clearly for you. Your teaching is a ministry, clearly. And I'm sure that you concentrate on allowing these students to see Christ's face through you. And I would just, yes, and you're right. You're right. I need to make more room for that. We just had a segment on that, and I should have brought your email into it then. But you're right. I should make more room for that in my heart and on the program, because there are plenty of people in your circumstance who are doing everything they can to do God's work within these horrible environments. And I would also ask, in regard to what you're doing, do you put the armor of God on when you go to school? Do you and your husband wear the armor of God? Because you are absolutely targets, spiritually speaking. If you're there and doing as you say you're doing, I have no reason to believe you're not. So I would just beg you to make sure that you are fastidious and about putting on the armor of God every time you enter those buildings. And I will pray that you're also surrounded by godly women who stand with you within these school districts and within maybe your school. So yes, thank you for that. And I just pray protection upon all teachers who are trying to do God's work inside these horrible environments. that are being set up to truly damage kids in an eternal sense. Because if you get kids addicted to sexual behavior early on and you break down those barriers, it's a harder work to bring the Holy Spirit in and clean things up. It's harder for the people. It's not harder for the Holy Spirit. But it's also harder for those of us who are trying to work with these young people. Because we are the voice of restraint. We're the voice speaking of a reward that is not fleshly, that young people have trouble sometimes relating to. So, yes, I do thank the godly teachers for what they're doing. One other thing related in this case to Epstein, Senator Ron Wyden said details from his office investigation into Jeffrey Epstein's finances show a massive Treasury Department file that's been locked away.
Now, somewhere in the Treasury Department, Mr. President, locked away in a cabinet drawer, is a big Epstein file that's full of actionable information. Follow the money details about his financing and operations that await investigation. 4,725 wire transfers adding up to nearly $1.1 billion flowing in and out of just one of Mr. Epstein's bank accounts. If you ask me, that is more than 4,000 potential lines of investigation right there. Hundreds of millions more flowed through other accounts. That's even a lot more to investigate. The file shows that Mr. Epstein used multiple Russian banks, which are now under sanctions, to process payments related to sex trafficking.
And yes, all these are avenues for investigations. I absolutely agree with Ron Wyden. You know what else is an avenue for investigation? Planned Parenthood's funding of perverse pornographic sex eds in the school. Because they do this for a reason, is to sell more abortions, it's to sell more wrong sex hormones, and more STD drugs. So we should be looking at those lines of financing as well as the other groups who are funding the downfall of kids' sexual health and potentially their spiritual health. Definitely on the short-term basis, their spiritual health. Although God can come in and use bad to turn it to good at any time. And if you've been involved in those activities, you're a young person hearing this, and you gave into this stuff, or you were harmed by this stuff, or you had sexual experiences far too young, and part of it was because of the schools, understand, Christ can cleanse you. Taking that to the cross and asking for forgiveness, admitting the sin, asking for forgiveness, when that happens and is fully taken to the cross and the Lord has forgiven you those sins, then God no longer sees you in those circumstances. He sees his son. That is, if you've given yourself back to Christ. So please understand that's dirt on you, that spiritual dirt, is temporary. And the Lord Jesus will cleanse it. It'll be gone and never seen again by God. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
And I hope that... Prime Minister Xi, she has some difficulties right now.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. That's just about always the way things work out. The so-called mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, is inarticulately upset that the Bears are moving to Indiana.
The Bears belong in the city of Chicago. The Chicago Bears belong in the city of Chicago, right? And I've said repeatedly that the door is always open for conversations, you know, and, you know, Kevin Warren did call me yesterday. We didn't get a chance to connect, you know, and I still firmly believe that their best position is in Chicago. And it's evidence. The evidence is clearly speaking for itself.
It is. The Bears organization seems unconvinced that the evidence is speaking for itself. the so-called mayor of Chicago. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Democrat Lee Fink argues that restricting children's access to pornography is harmful.
You mentioned the Paxton case, and the AGs in many states are very clear about that. They're almost jubilant about being able to use these laws to ban young people from accessing content that could be educational if they are queer.
Yeah, it's also incredibly pornographic content. And from a Christian perspective, there is no spiritually healthy way to be what you choose to call queer. And for that matter, in many cases, from a physical perspective, the same is true. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. In Canada, Minister Lina Diab has paved the way for the Chinese Communist Party members, military members, to merge with Canada's military, because that will keep Canada safe.
And finally, we are creating a new category for skilled military recruits to attract highly skilled foreign military applicants. Eligible recruits with a job offer from the Canadian Armed Forces, including doctors, nurses, pilots, can be invited to apply for permanent residence.
That seems like a good idea. To allow the Chinese Communist Party entree into the Canadian military to keep Canada safe. What could ever go wrong? And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babel.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note, I don't think my mind should work this way, but it does. You know, I've been touched by what God has done in my life. I've been touched by being forced to see my own sin up close and change in that regards. And so thankful for the process of cleansing and sanctification. I've seen personal miracles that God has performed that are they just defy any explanation but the Lord. I've seen miracles he's done in my life with family members, my daughter. I've seen the miracle of grace up close. You know, I've seen so much and felt so much, and I've heard God's voice inside me, you know, correcting me and helping me be better husband, better father. I've seen events in life that defy physical explanation. And I read the word of God, and very often I'm touched, not always. Sometimes, like you, I'm probably checking a box. So my mind shouldn't work this way, but it does. I am still someone who enjoys reading about the unlikely nature of any of our experience coming about by random happening. I have talked at length about intelligent design of species in this book I'm writing. And I'm now probably, I'm about two chapters short of the first draft. And the book is a combination of times where I've seen God act in my life in ways that are indescribable, save the miracle of God, what I might consider a minor miracle. So telling some of these stories again in writing is really different than telling them on the radio. It's also, though, combined with some of the miracles we never give God credit for. And yeah, part of it's intelligent design, but I'm getting down to some very specific areas of study, such as our memory. Our memory is the most advanced example of God's genius in programming that's ever existed. And I'll give you an example. We can remember smells. And this is something in technology that's referred to as pattern completion, that we can think back to a time in our life and we can remember a smell and then we can actually smell it. Our mind has stored that information. It's completing the pattern. And that's one small example of this. In the book, I go into the math behind this. And the math behind it is insane. So let me give you another example of things that we don't thank God enough for, or we don't really spend time understanding how much genius is involved in the world in which we live. We will thank God for rain. You know, when our area needs rain, we live in an area where if there's not rain, it can be very scary from a perspective of forest fires. It can be disconcerting. So we're thankful for rain or snowpacks. When was the last time you thanked God for the genius of the carbon-oxygen or oxygen-carbon cycle? The fact that what we need to breathe, we largely oxygen, is made available to us by plants that expel that after plants effectively eat what we exhale, carbon dioxide, and throw into that process the cleansing aspects of that, cleansing the air. We didn't even get into the cleansing of water through the cloud cycle. So in doing the research for the book, I've been working with an AI and a little bit torn about this until I've discovered that in working with this AI, I'm actually helping the AI to start to catalog ways in which it is impossible that life came about by chance. I asked the AI to analyze the odds of what are the odds of a system like our oxygen carbon exchange occurring at random is? Here's what the AI's software presented. To grasp how unlikely it is for the system to arise by chance, imagine giving a billion people a deck of cards and asking them all to shuffle at the exact same second. The odds of just two people having the exact same order of cards are already astronomical. Now imagine that for the world to work, all billion people must not only have the same order, but must also be standing in a specific spot on Earth, humming the same note while wearing the exact same outfit, all without ever talking to one another. If even one person is out of sync, the whole system fails. In our world, the cards are atoms and the outfits are complex DNA codes. For plants and humans to develop perfectly opposite needs, where our waste is their food and their waste is our life, is like those billions of people getting everything right on the very first try. Mathematically, it's like winning a global lottery every single day for a billion years straight. It suggests a level of coordination that far exceeds that which we expect from simple luck. So when this book comes out, it will be filled with examples like this. I shouldn't need examples like this. But thank God for examples like that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, until God grants us permission from speaking together. May His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.